Good afternoon and welcome to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners and stand ready to help you meet all of your real estate objectives. In a few minutes, I'll be introducing my special in-studio guest, but first want to remind you that we have partnered with some terrific companies who can help solve renovation, repair, and design issues around your own home. So just go to our website, www.santafe-realtypartners.com, click on the radio show icon, and go right to the list of real estate resource companies. I encourage you to give them a call if you need some help at the place you call home. Now, while at our website, you can also schedule a meeting with me or one of my broker colleagues to discuss your own real estate needs. Again, that web address is www.santafe-realtypartners.com. As always, we have a lot going on with the show today, so please sit back and enjoy all things real estate. You can also email me with your questions and comments here on Talk 1260 KTRC. Send your message to me, Ray Post, at rpost@sfrp.com. We like to begin each show with 2 minutes of State of the Market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. Okay, Andrew, what thoughts do you want to bring to the listeners today?
Well, Ray, I thought I would talk a little bit about reverse mortgages. Mm-hmm. It's sort of an arcane area of the mortgage world. It's not well understood. I really didn't like them until I learned more about them, and now I think that they're an amazing opportunity for the right person. Uh-huh. Reverse mortgage basically is the way of a senior, somebody over the age of 62, getting equity from his or her house and not having a mortgage payment for the rest of their life. There are two qualifiers, and only two, their age. You must be 62 years old, and the older you are, the more benefit you have, and the value of the house, less any outstanding debt on that house. They don't look at credit or income or assets, so it's very easy to qualify. And right now, until the end of 2009, the benefit limit has been raised from $427,500 to $625,500. So there's substantially more available to the qualifying senior. Mm-hmm. So you can take your benefits in four ways. You can take it as a lump sum. You can get a line of credit. You can get a monthly payment for life, $800 a month for the rest of your life, how long are that, or something like that. And you can get a monthly payment over a fixed period of time. There's a fixed version of a reverse mortgage, which gives you more benefit, and a variable version that gives you less benefit, but some other things that come along with that. So looking at the market right now, there are two areas of this reverse mortgage that may be interesting to your listeners. One is that if a senior is facing foreclosure, and there is equity in the house, they just can't refinance, they don't have any income, it may be a way for them to keep their house and to stay in their house. And secondly, there's a new purchase called a reverse purchase, which allows one to put down a significant amount as a down payment and not have a mortgage for the rest of their life. Again, they have to be over the age of 62. And the rule of thumb on how much the benefit is, you take the purchase price and you take their age minus 10%, and you give around the amount, you take the purchase price, subtract that age minus 10%, and you get the amount that they have available that they can borrow. Mm-hmm. So the reverse purchase is something that's interesting that a senior ought to look into. I think reverse mortgages in general are a very interesting product that's available.
They are, and in fact, the purchase reverse mortgage program actually was designed to allow seniors to purchase a new principal residence and obtain a reverse mortgage.
Absolutely.
In a single transaction, so they don't have two closings. Is that
right,
correct?
Right, exactly. And so, if you're 75 years old, and using the rule of thumb, you subtract 10% from that, so you get about 65% benefit. That means you have to put down around 35%, but then you don't have a mortgage payment for the rest of your life.
That's great. One last question, Andrew, and I'll let you go. I know some people that I've talked to, some seniors, have asked, well, what if I outlive the loan? Can the lender actually take my home away? I know the answer, but please tell the listeners what the true story is.
A reverse mortgage is a non-recourse loan. You can never owe more than the value of the house.
Gotcha.
And if there is excess value, if the market continues to grow at about 3% a year, you maintain the value that exists, the equity value that exists in your house today. So you may end up still being able to transfer substantial value to your heirs and live in the house without a mortgage payment.
As you said, an excellent strategy for a certain group of people that are of that 62 age or older. Thanks a lot, Andrew Hoffman, again, advisor to All Things Real Estate, for calling in today. We will talk to you next Sunday.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Shifting gears, and it's my pleasure. There should be a drum roll here, Gino Thompson, my producer. And once again, I have actually I have the man who was the first guest on this radio show. We've been on the air now for almost 4 months, and this gentleman agreed to launch All Things Real Estate. I'm speaking, of course, of Steve Riemann, who is the Santa Fe area manager of Fidelity National Title. I have many titles for him. I'll be using them throughout the show, but it's a pleasure to have you back, Steve.
My pleasure indeed, Ray. Thanks.
We're going to be talking, Andrew used the word arcane, but we're going to be talking about something today, a real estate contract and seller financing, which, as we all know, in the trade are becoming much more prevalent in this current market. So we're going to be framing these issues. Hopefully we'll have sufficient time to get all the stuff that Mr. Riemann wants to share with us today. So with that in mind, why don't we just talk about it. What is a real estate contract as opposed to a purchase agreement?
A real estate contract is essentially a method of seller financing. Well, the seller will carry the mortgage or note or carry the debt against the real property to allow the buyer to get in a much easier way. It is a contract that typically services for a couple of years, allowing the buyer to be in the home, establish a payment schedule, etc., and then after a certain period of time, refinance the property back out. And obviously at that point gets rid of the debt that the seller has been carrying. And it's a mechanism right now that has a long past. Historically, land transactions and transactions up in northern New Mexico have for years used real estate contracts and sort of an informal methodology of getting folks into property. And they are rising in popularity right now because of the tight credit situations, folks who need to sell one home before they can buy another home, the difficulty in appraisals, etc. And so this is a way of getting folks into homes that is rising in popularity.
Actually, I brushed up against a real estate contract very recently. I had some people that were moving here from New Jersey, and they didn't want to buy outright. They wanted to do a lease-to-buy arrangement. And so we never consummated the deal because they didn't get here from New Jersey. I don't know where they are, but they're still driving around, I guess, somewhere. But in any event, the idea was certainly embraced by the seller as a way to get these people in. The terms are going to be beneficial. So I think you're right. It is the credit situation, isn't it, Steve? It's really driving the prevalence of this.
Mostly so. The difficulty in getting appraisals, like I said, credit tightness. A lot of folks are in need of disposing one property before they can actually come in with down payment, etc., or obtain conventional financing for their new home. And so if you have a place that you need to fill in Detroit before you can actually come here, this gets you into the house, establishes a payment schedule, obviously lets you begin enjoying your new home while you are still in the process of marketing your home in Detroit.
Now, the word tricky often comes up when people speak about real estate contracts. I think tricky from several standpoints. I mean, if there's a mortgage on the house and all the issues associated with the lender that's involved. But one thing, and I actually have a copy of it, though I know Steve Riemann, again, I call him the professor, he's memorized this. I have a copy of a New Mexico real estate contract with me. And in the first paragraph, in the second sentence, you know what it says? It says, you should consult your attorney with regards to the effectiveness, validity, or consequences of any use of this form. Now, why is that in bold print right at the front end of this document?
Well, the parties are at certain risks in this transaction that you don't find in conventional financing. We believe they're tolerable risks right now. Many of the brokers that are engaging in these sorts of transactions believe it's tolerable at this particular point in history. But it does have its risks, and so it's wise advice to refer to counsel. Most of the local real estate attorneys are well-versed in real estate contracts. We deal with them often. Mm-hmm. And as long as people enter into these transactions with their eyes open, understanding where the risks are, how we can best mitigate or reduce those risks, then it's a transaction that works for a lot of people.
Now, there are advantages and disadvantages to buyers and sellers in this use of a real estate contract. Let's talk about a seller, first of all. What are the distinct advantages, and what are some of the potential pitfalls?
Well, a seller obviously needs to move his property right now, and finding someone who's approved and available with conventional credit is difficult. For one thing, opens up a great deal more buyers, a great many more buyers are available using this kind of financing to get into the house. In fact, I know several brokers in this town who, in working with their buyers, will sort available properties to see based on whether or not this sort of financing is available. Mm-hmm. Other advantages, the seller can... it's a quick close program. Normally these transactions can close as quick as 3 days. The seller creates an income stream. Right now, if you're a seller and you had a couple of $100,000 from the sale of your property, what would you do with it? Where would you invest it? How would you make any return? Putting it in the stock market or banks or whatever is a low return. So a seller can sell their property and make 5 or 6%, whatever it is, on the interest, and create an income stream for themselves. There are tax advantages by deferring part of the gain right away. There are a myriad of other sorts of things like that. The seller can actually make money on his existing mortgage if there's a spread in the interest rates. So right now it's just a way of getting people into homes and providing income stream for sellers that they wouldn't normally have.
Well, let's tell Gino Thompson, let's take a break here on all things real estate. When we come back, we're going to talk about real estate contracts and what the advantages and disadvantages potentially to buyers might be. So please stay tuned. We'll be back. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and today I have Steve Riemann, Santa Fe Area Manager for Fidelity National Title, is my in-studio guest. Before we go back into our conversation regarding real estate contracts, I want to ask you, are you thinking about building a new home or updating the one that you're in, converting your garage into a living space, or simply building a guest house? You know, choosing a contractor is an important decision, and that's why I recommend Major Development Incorporated, a premier developer and builder in Santa Fe with over 15 years of experience. Jeff and Dina Major work with you to ensure a quality and efficient building process that will enhance your home and reflect your style. Now is an excellent time to start your project with Major Development and enjoy 15% off their standard rates. Please call Major Development today at 505-470-0019, or you can go to their online website, which is www.majordevelopment.net. To learn about all of their custom home building services, I highly recommend them. They are sponsors of the show. And actually, Dina Major was on the show last week, Steve, and we talked about you. I don't know if you heard it. It was all very complimentary on air.
Well, I appreciate her saying that and right back at you, Dina.
Very good. And I know she's listening today. Anyway, back to Steve Riemann, my special in-studio guest. We were talking, first of all, defining what a real estate contract is, the reality that it's becoming much more prevalent, though it's a thing, as Steve pointed out correctly, it's been around for a long, long time. But in this current market, people are using it much more often for a variety of reasons, a lot of which has to do with the lack of credit for buyers. We talked about some of the advantages to sellers. Are there any disadvantages to sellers?
Well, there certainly are. To some extent, the seller remains an active player in this real property. If, for instance, the seller has an existing mortgage with, let's say, Bank of America, then the seller remains impacted in their credit by the fact that this loan to Bank of America will continue to need to be serviced, need to be paid, so long as the real estate contract continues. So the seller is facing an active participation role to the extent that their credit is still impacted by the underlying debt, if there is one. The seller becomes the creditor, and so the seller has a need and an obligation, frankly, to review the buyer's credit and make a judgment as to whether or not this buyer is really going to service this mortgage or not.
Sure. I mean, that's that is a concern, and there may be a psychological advantage to being an institution when you're dealing with a buyer as opposed to an individual dealing with a buyer, so it really requires so much more due diligence on your part as the seller, correct?
Absolutely right. The institutional lender doesn't have much psychological impact in this.
Yeah, I guess so. Listen, we did receive an email just now. Hi, Ray and Steve. If I use a land contract to sell my home to a first-time home buyer, are they still eligible for the federal $8,000 tax credit?
Frankly, a question I can't answer.
Okay.
Don't know that.
Gino, mark this occasion. We stumped Steve Green. That's the first time. Well, thank you. That was from Robert. Robert, I will get back to you and let you know what the answer is, but we'll find out for sure on that. I got another one here. This obviously is an issue that's resonating. Oh,
great.
Maybe I should read these before. Hi, Steve. My mom just passed away and had a land contract on a house she bought. I have power of attorney over all of her affairs. Can I change the contract? Hopeful Susan.
Well, you certainly can engage the seller to renegotiate the contract if you need to. A real estate contract, also called the land contract, as the first caller referred to it, is a negotiable arrangement, contractual arrangement between the seller and the buyer. And should either party want to suggest amendments or look for opportunities to change, that is a negotiable instrument.
Okay, hopeful Susan, I hope that was a good answer for you. And please feel free to contact Steve Reiman directly at Fidelity National Title. I'm going to tell him to go to the website, but what's the easiest way to get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me is santafe@fnf.com. santafe@fnf, that's Fidelity National Financial, fnf.com.
Excellent.
That's our confidential and free customer service line.
Hopeful Susan, I hope you go to Mr. Reiman for that. You know what, Gino Townsend, my producer, we've reached that point in the show when it's time for our legal topic of the week, brought to us, as always, by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. Now, this week's topic is what homebuyers should know about real property taxes in the state of New Mexico. Attorney Melanie McGilvery will shed some light on how real property taxes are actually paid in New Mexico. Real property taxes are typically prorated as of the date of closing on the sale of a property between a buyer and a seller. Since property taxes in New Mexico are based on a calendar year, the closing officer will generally hold from the seller a prorated share of the current year's taxes in advance. The buyer will then be credited with the amount that the seller has paid into closing. And when the taxes become due, the buyer will be responsible for the entire bill since he has already been credited with the seller's prorated amount. Oftentimes, however, the closing officer will collect taxes from the buyer as well and pay the taxes in advance. And as my in-studio guest Steve Reiman of Fidelity National Title would agree, it's very important that the buyer clearly understand whether this action is actually being taken by the title company at closing. If you have a mortgage on your property, your mortgage company may pay the taxes. However, it's your responsibility to ensure that your mortgage company is paying your taxes. And you can always verify whether payment of these taxes has occurred by calling the county treasurer's office in the county where your property is located. And remember, regardless of whether you or not you receive a tax bill from the county assessor, you are responsible for payment of the real property taxes assessed against your property. Now, while it's quite likely that the title company handling the settlement of the property you are acquiring will notify the county assessor of the property transfer, it's actually your responsibility as the buyer to make sure after closing that the county assessor is aware of the property transfer and confirm payment of all taxes when due. Also be aware that property tax exemptions are available for the head of family and qualifying veterans. Exemptions may be claimed from January 1st through April 30th of each year. It's best to contact the assessor's office in the county in which you live for more information on this issue. Thanks once again to Attorney Melanie McGilvery for providing us with an informative legal topic of the week. If you have your own legal questions regarding real property taxes, please go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and then go right to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo. Gino, before we take a break here, I just want to mention there's a full-page ad in the New Mexican today by our firm, Santa Fe Realty Partners, that speaks to a lot of the sort of defining and unique characteristics of our firm compared to other people in the industry. Not wanting to toot our horn too loudly, but it's a very meaningful full-page ad in the real estate section. I suggest you go to it to give you some good information about what the value is that our firm can bring to your own transaction. Gino, why don't we take a break now here on All Things Real Estate. When we'll come back, we'll continue our conversation with Steve Reiman of Fidelity National Title. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. Before I go back into my conversation with my special in-studio guest, Steve Reiman, with Fidelity National Title, I am pleased to announce that we've added another sponsor to our family of companies who are underwriting All Things Real Estate. Lensons Incorporated, a family-owned and operated business, has been offering fabrics and custom upholstery services for more than 30 years. Now, if you haven't been to Lensons' showroom, I suggest that you stop by this Santa Fe institution and check out the more than 450 lines of fabric, custom bedding, and upholstery services they have to offer. I was there a week ago on Friday, and I was astounded at the volume of stuff that they have in that showroom. Now, Lensons is not only a major destination for many interior designers and decorators, but it's also well-known among countless Santa Feans and ships its products to clients all over the world. Lensons is located at 1305 Cerrillos Road, and I encourage you to stop by and say hello to our friend, Lupi Lenson, and her helpful staff. A lot of her kids actually work there. Lensons, for all your fabric and custom upholstery needs. Back to Steve Reiman with Fidelity National Title. We've been talking about real estate contracts, the increasing use of them in this current market. We talked about the advantages for sellers. What about buyers?
This real estate contract proposition really works for buyers who have either, let's say, limited or little or no down payment available, where they may have experienced a credit problem in the past and conventional financing doesn't work for them right now. Maybe they, as we discussed earlier, have a house to sell in another market. So, again, conventional financing doesn't work for them right now. It's also, frankly, cheaper for a buyer to close on a real estate contract. They can avoid some of the typical loan costs, loan origination fees, appraisal fees if they want to, some of those other processing fees that lenders will typically charge. And so the buyer gets an opportunity to get into the property a little cheaper, a little faster, and hold the property. One of the principal benefits is if the buyer holds the property for a year and a day, the buyer can then apply for conventional financing to essentially buy out the real estate contract and go to conventional financing. But that at that point in time, after a year and a day, it becomes a refinance application rather than a new home application. Mm-hmm. And refinance applications are, frankly, easier to get approved.
Sure, and that's what the lenders want to deal with anyway.
Absolutely right.
I want to ask you, I know you're closing a lot of real estate contracts at Fidelity National Title. I'm curious about the profile of people. Are they predominantly first-time home buyers because they lack credit, or is it mixed? Is it people that have been in the market and their credit's down a little bit? What's the deal?
It's frankly all over the chart. Very interestingly, we closed one not long ago. The gentleman put $700,000 in cash on a $1 million home and preferred a vehicle of a real estate real estate contract for the balance of the $300,000 due, because he knew that in a year's time he was due apparently a trust distribution or something. He was due some funds that he'd be able to just buy out the contract.
Uh-huh.
So we see it at all levels of the market. We see it for vacant land. Right now, vacant land financing is extremely difficult to get. We're seeing, it really applies for vacant land. We see it all over the charts.
And vacant land was actually sort of where real estate contracts came into being many years ago. up in the northern part of the state, correct?
That's probably so, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move to something that sort of segues from the buyer advantage to a seller situation. If things go south, there's always that word simple foreclosure that's on the horizon. Talk about that, Steve.
Well, the methodology of a real estate contract differs from conventional financing in probably one major area, and that is in the foreclosure process. As a seller, I have made a contractual agreement with a buyer for the buyer to buy the house and make the payments. If the buyer does not make the payments, frankly, the typical methodology is I, the seller, can give the buyer 30 days notice, say, hey, buyer, you haven't made your payments, you're not up to snuff, and if the buyer does not reconcile that within the 30-day time period, the seller can simply go to the escrow company that's holding the documents and servicing the money and obtain a deed back from the buyer to the seller, and it essentially wipes out the buyer's interest and all the funds that the buyer have paid to date, which is obviously a seller advantage. In a typical mortgage or deed of trust, we have to go to court, file a judicial foreclosure, provide all the notices. There are periods of redemption, etc., a lot of complexities in a typical foreclosure. But in a real estate contract, it's a very simple mechanism.
Very straightforward. Now, part and parcel with you seeing additional instances of the use of real estate contract in this current market, and you're at the front end and the transaction, are you also seeing some situations like this where it's leading to foreclosure?
Actually, interestingly enough, the percentage or number of foreclosures in our market is extraordinarily low.
Mm-hmm.
Northern New Mexicans appreciate their property.
Right.
They appreciate the land and their homes, etc. The number of failures in this market, even in this tight market, is extraordinarily low. In fact, probably frankly lower than conventional financing, where buyers, if they can't afford to make the payments, can essentially walk away, and I guess the psychological impact is certainly lower. You know, in this case, I'm not making my payments to Bank of America,
right,
as compared to I'm not making my payments to Ray Post.
Well, that's what I was thinking and somewhat alluding to earlier when I said that with an institution, that you've got the specter of a big multinational corporation looming over you, as opposed to having Ray Post looming over you, and that may not be quite as intimidating. I'd like to think that it was.
Well, you're a big guy. I'll give you that.
Anyway, you talk a little bit about, Steve, you're in the thick of this. Again, you're doing a lot of these closings. What is the role of a title company in a real estate contract?
The title company typically will prepare most of the documentation. Now, Fidelity, we will help, and we will actually prepare the documentation necessary for the contract. Not all title companies will. But we use standard forms promulgated by the Real Estate Association of New Mexico. We're not out creating wild hair transactions. We're using standardized forms, et cetera. And we will typically prepare the real estate contract itself. We'll prepare all the associate instrumentation, the recordings, the deeds, et cetera, close the transaction, insure, again, the buyer with title insurance so that the buyer has the assurance that we did it right, and there's a title policy that that proves that.
As you always point out, you're the only one in the transaction that gives a guarantee.
Well, it is a distinguishing remark of title insurance.
Yeah.
And then we will coordinate with the escrow company. Typically in this community, we use a company called Investors Escrow. They're the best, frankly, in town, in my opinion. But the escrow company is actually the company that services all the payments, receives the buyer's payments, pays the underlying loan if there is one, and then disperses the difference to the seller, as well as pays taxes and insurance. And so for a very modest fee, they handle all the funds, which in this sort of personal relationship is an extremely crucial instance.
How is an escrow company's fees assessed?
They have a small upfront, a $60-$70 upfront fee, $8 or $9 monthly fee for handling all the payments, and then there's a very nominal closeout fee as well. So, but they do all the tracking, they do all the reporting to the IRS, and Investors Escrow here services presently probably 1,200 escrows. so they have a clue about what they're doing.
That's a great track record. In this kind of transaction, is it you that's contracting or contacting them to become part of it, or is it the broker that's involved in the transaction that does it?
Either way, yeah. Although typically we're the ones that are responsible for delivery of all the documents, mm-hmm. payment of the fees, et cetera. So we are, it's a very cooperative relationship.
You have a seamless relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell you what, I'm going to actually talk to you for a moment about Save Sun Mountain Coalition, a group of concerned Santa Fe citizens with the common goal of preserving the 23-acre Watson parcel, which lies on the western slope of Sun Mountain, rather than see an approved 13-home subdivision built on it. In the last 4 months, the coalition, working with the Trust for Public Land, has raised over $2.6 million, actually that number is probably much higher now, toward the goal of raising $3.2 million. These funds are needed to buy the Watson land parcel from local builder Doug McDowell. I'm told that there's been some amazing teamwork and coalition building in this process. For instance, the builder, Mr. McDowell, has actually joined forces with the Trust for Public Land, a nationally recognized conservation organization. In addition, Santa Fe residents have voiced their opinions loudly on this issue, and some 3,000 of them have actually registered their preservation aims by signing a petition in support of a green solution. The consensus, plain and simple, is to see all of this land remain accessible for public trail and hiking access with restrictive conservation overlays. And the final aim is to gift the bulk of this land to the city on her 400th birthday and to realize its permanent connectivity to existing city-owned open space atop Sun and Moon Mountains. There are less than 30 days to complete this ambitious goal, and the coalition needs your help to reach the finish line. They ask that you please consider responding with your financial support in this effort to keep Sun Mountain open, beautiful, accessible, and most importantly, yours. Send your contribution to the Trust for Public Land, 1600 Lena Street, Building C, Santa Fe, 87505. And for more information, call Dale Snyder at her number at the Trust's office, which is 988-5922. Again, that number is 988-5922. This is a rare chance to purchase open space in Santa Fe while at the same time saving the special iconic status of Sun Mountain for generations to come. Steve, you have something to say about this?
Well, I sure want to support this effort. This is one of the very unique parts about Santa Fe, that Santa Fe as a community will band together to preserve the parts of town that we appreciate and enjoy and love so much. So I just want to encourage that effort, encourage people to participate in that fundraising. And, you know, it's as in any fundraising, if you get enough people doing a little bit, you cover a whole big chunk of money. So,
you know, he is a Gino Thompson, my producer, he is a consummate title insurance Santa Fe area manager, but he is also poetic. And I appreciate the comments, and I know the association, the coalition does as well. Gino, why don't we take a break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Steve Riemann of Fidelity National Title about real estate contracts. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and with the sound of that music, you all know that we are up to our Open House of the Week segment brought to you by Los Alamos National Bank. Today I have my friend, my colleague, and one of the best brokers in Santa Fe sitting at 27 Rancho Manana. And with that introduction, Julie Brooke, how are you?
Hi, Ray. I'm good. Thank you.
And you know what the drill is here, Julie. You've got 2 minutes to sell Steve Riemann, me, Gino Thompson, my producer, but most importantly, all of the listeners about the qualities of this fabulous property. Go ahead.
Great. Well, I'm actually just on my way over to the Tano Road neighborhood, where I will be at an elegant Southwest contemporary home. Ray, Steve, Gino, you would love this house. It has high ceilings, lots of light, and plenty of room to display artwork. Built just 4 years ago, this house has a gourmet kitchen with Viking appliances. Ray, one of the features I love most about this home is the dramatic sunsets you get to enjoy all year round. The house is situated so perfectly on the lot that you have views from inside as well as outside. Relax on the portal in warm weather. The rest of the year, snuggle up in your living room, build a fire, and watch not only the sunset, but also the twilight, all the way out to the horizon. Set on 2.8 acres, 27 Rancho Manana has beautiful low-maintenance courtyards. It even has a lawn on a sprinkler system. This three-bedroom house has an additional room that is perfect for a TV room, office, or studio. Every detail was thought of in building this home, from the heated garage to the plaster walls and granite countertops. Ray, when I walk through the house, I feel a sense of spaciousness that seems to lift me up. The design and finishes have a timeless feeling. The home appraised at well over $1 million and is now at the incredibly attractive price at $850,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how do we get there?
It is located at 27 Rancho Manana. Take Tano Road West, 1.3 miles from Ridgetop Road to Rancho Manana. If you're coming from the Las Campanas La Tierra direction, it's off Tano Road just 3 streets east of Camino de las Montoyas. It's only 7 minutes from the plaza.
That's great. And now you're going to be there from 2 to 4, right?
I'll actually be there by 1:30.
Okay.
Until 4 o'clock if you want to stop by.
Okay. Well, I'm encouraging everybody that's out driving around right now. Actually, if they're over in Tsuki having brunch at Tsuki Village Market, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump from there over to where Julie's going to be in about 30 minutes. So, listen, Julie, again, fabulous property, 27 Rancho Manana. She'll be there from 1:30 to 4. I encourage everyone to go by. Thanks so much for talking to us today, Julie.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, back to my in-studio guest, Steve Riemann. And you've dealt with Julie Brooke on...
Oh, sure. And a hopeless romantic with her description of this home. But I have to tell you, I closed my eyes during her description and got carried away to this property. That was a marvelous presentation.
It was very good. And I hope that the listeners out there take advantage of this very, very special property. And again, you can always go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon. It'll take you to our page. And right there, 27 Rancho Manana is being featured. Click on that to see all the pictures. Anyway, back to Steve Riemann. Steve, about half a dozen minutes left. Thereabouts, 4-5 minutes left. So what do you want to talk about now regarding real estate contracts, Steve? Because I wanted to leave you some time for closing remarks, too.
Well, one of the important things is that you have to consider is what we call a wrap real estate contract, and that is, does the seller have an underlying debt that needs to be serviced? And there is a technical breach of the mortgage between the seller and their existing mortgage holder. Most mortgages nowadays have what we call a due-on-sale clause, where the seller is obliged to pay off the debt when they sell their house. And in a wrap or a real estate contract wrap, there is no payment in full of the underlying debt. And so what we do is we construct a very careful methodology for payments to be made from the buyer to the escrow company. Then the escrow company takes that payment and pays the underlying mortgage every month and then sends to the seller whatever difference there is until the contract can be repurchased. And it presents some concern for a seller. There are a number of strategies that we use to give the seller protection. Again, we use escrow companies to handle the monies. We always suggest the seller get a payment ahead so that if the buyer can't make a payment, the seller's got a month or two to come up with some funds or to create an avenue for resolution here. It is not illegal. Some have alleged that. It's not, but it is a technical violation of the due-on-sale clause of your underlying mortgage. Now, most sellers obviously express concern about this, and our answer in the community right now is fairly simple. Most banks have enough inventory already.
Right.
They do not want to take another property back. Frankly, from an underlying lender's position, they may have two people that they can look at for payments, mm-hmm. the original seller and now the real estate contract buyer. Mm-hmm. And so the seller, the underlying lender, has, frankly, a good amount of comfort here.
Sure.
They got somebody else they can look to. The payments are being handled by an escrow company. Frankly, lenders do not want to go out and start foreclosing or demanding full payment on properties. Like I said, they've got enough inventory right now,
right.
And most banks don't want any more.
So the precision that an escrow firm, like the one you mentioned to me before, that plays a critical role, but that gives comfort to not only the seller but to the underlying mortgage holder.
Absolutely right. In fact, when you speak to Abby at Investors Escrow, she'll tell you that the few foreclosures that she has involve payments that were made by the buyer to the seller, and the seller, that is directly, without using an escrow company, and the seller did not pay the underlying loan. Seller got into a financial problem themselves, started using the payments from the buyer, and didn't make their own underlying loan payments. Obviously, that's going to create problems for both parties at that point. That's why you want to use an escrow company. We have a number of other strategies that we recommend. In fact, it has been my pleasure to work with a number of brokers in town who will bring their sellers into the office for a cup of coffee and a 45-minute or an hour-long chat to help sellers understand where this works, where its pitfalls or difficulties are, mm-hmm. but in what cases it does work and work well, so that sellers and buyers both can get a comfort level of whether or not to enter into this sort of transaction.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have about a minute left on the show, Steve. So in summary, why don't you hit on the three or four major bullet points about a real estate contract, seller financing, and what both buyers and sellers should be thinking about today.
There's enormous advantage to the seller, not only in an income stream, in tax, avoidance, not evasion, and in creating additional or finding additional buyers for their property. Also, the foreclosure mechanism is in the advantage of the seller. Buyers are able to get in with lower down payments or without worrying about existing credit problems, etc. And if you use a responsible real estate broker, you may want to consult with counsel, but obviously you use title company as well and an escrow company that's experienced in these sorts of transactions. They are a great mechanism to get properties moving now. Mm-hmm. I don't frankly recommend them for 30-year financing,
right.
But typically we structure them somewhere 3 to 5 years out. It lets the parties mature through whatever other situation there is and at the same time get the house they really want.
As always, Steve Riemann, you are a font of information. I want to thank you for joining me today in the studio. Thank you, Gino Thompson, my producer, and Kate and Jane back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for doing all that you do to make the show a success. Thank you for tuning in today, and give me and my broker colleagues a call at 989-8900 if you need some real estate advice. So until next Sunday at noon right here on Talk 1260 KTRC, I send you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.